On this eighth day in the octave of Christmas, we celebrate appropriately the great solemnity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God. This title in particular was officially bestowed upon her in order to fight some of the early heresies in the church. It was always believed that she was the Mother of God, but because of some things that we hear throughout the Gospels, many Christians started to believe that maybe Jesus wasn't actually God. Maybe he was just a man who was very close to God, a great, great saint, certainly adopted son of the Father, but not the actual son of the Father. And because of these heresies, these false teachings about our Lord, the church came together in a council and pointed out all of the consistent teachings that Jesus himself gave in which he claimed to be the Lord. He said, before Abraham was, I am. He says, the Father and I are one. Any Jew hearing these statements would have to conclude that this man in particular, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, was claiming to be God himself. So his followers always believed that he was true God and true man. And for that reason, in defense of this teaching, this belief that we have always held about our Lord's true natures, the church officially proclaimed Mary the Mother of God. And how is this? How can this be? She's just a creature, just a woman. She's not God. She is the true mother of the body of Christ. She conceived in her womb and gave birth to him. And since that body belongs to the person of God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the Word, the Logos, then in giving birth to his body, she gave birth to him. Not in his divine nature, but in his human nature. And that's why, rightly speaking, we call her the Mother of God, because she is the true mother of the body of Christ. Now, our Lord certainly could have come into the world some other way. He's God. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He could have figured out another way. Just consider how he created Adam and Eve. He could have formed a new body like Adam out of the dust of the earth, breathed life into it, and then taken it upon himself. But that's not how he chose to come into the world to save us. He chose to be born of a virgin. And all of the prophecies that speak about him in the Old Testament refer to this. Being that God chose this mode, this means of coming into the world, he chose it, and therefore it is now essential for our salvation. Not that he couldn't have chosen another way, but this is the way he chose, that Mary is the channel, the conduit through which he comes into the world, takes human flesh, and redeems mankind. The fathers of the church tell us that the womb of Mary is like a mold in which you're forming an image. She formed Christ in his humanity in the mold of her womb. By the will of the Father, by the will of God. And if she was chosen among all women to form the body of Christ for us, for our salvation, then she still to this day continues to form that same image in her womb in each one of us. We're called to be members of the body of Christ through baptism, formed into the image of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The Lord isn't going to create a new way, a new channel, a new mode of creating his image in children. He's going to use the one he designed perfectly 2,000 years ago. And that's why ever since, the church has always recognized her as not only the Mother of God, the Mother of Christ, but our Mother, the Mother of the church, the Mother of each individual disciple of Jesus Christ. She is necessary, not because God couldn't have done it another way, but because he chose her as his singular instrument to form Christ in the flesh. This is why she is necessary in his plan for our salvation. That's why we need such a close relationship with her. I've said before, and I'll say again, the fathers of the church say that one of the marks of salvific grace in the soul of a Christian is true and abiding devotion to the Mother of God. Because if you truly love Jesus Christ and seek to follow him, you'll necessarily love and honor his Holy Mother. And so today, as we complete the octave of the celebration of the Nativity of our Lord, we give thanks in a special way, not only for the instrument that he chose to save us, to come into the world and redeem us, but we thank him that she continues to intercede for us, even to this day, and to look out for us and form us in the image of her Son. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.